Well, come on, let's stand to our feet and welcome Greg Moore this morning, who's helped in so many ways with this great facility. Yeah, you're just such a good man and a gracious man.
Wow, thank you, Nigel. That's slightly overwhelming. What a great weekend, man. Yes, young people, as soon as they stand up, they just run for the exit. Tells you something. Great weekend, isn't it? Yesterday, we had just a celebration, 100 years of Australian soldiers sacrificing their life for our country. And amazing celebrations right around the country, double what we'd normally get in an Anzac Day service, and quite rightly so. So it's the first day of our long weekend, second day. We're in church celebrating another sacrifice, not one that brought freedom to a nation, but one that brought freedom to mankind, the sacrifice 2,000 years ago of Jesus Christ on the cross, paid the price for us all to set us free. So we can come and celebrate this morning and thank God for what Jesus has done. And then last night, snuck in between there, another little victory that we managed, if you're a Dockers supporter, you just kind of snuck that there, managed to get over the line. And then tomorrow you get a day off. So that's got to be pretty much the perfect weekend, doesn't it? I don't know. I think we could kind of roll these out every week, I reckon. So that's great. But as Nigel mentioned, this is a series on our story, our future, which is our giving program. We have two main giving programs throughout the year. The one later in the year is called Leap into Spring, which is our program for international missions. And basically 100% of what we raise in that goes external to our church, over to mainly into Africa and Asia, and in those countries where they do life a lot tougher than we do here. We're very blessed in Australia, and so it's great that we're able to give into those nations, and there's constantly feedback as to what a difference what we do in those countries makes in their lives, and that's just fantastic, and that's later in the year. This program is very much about 100% of what we do here in our local community, here in Fremantle, and what we do in WA. And that's in our story, our future. And as for those that were here last week would have heard, just a very quick summary of a bit of the history, that this church was birthed out of another church in Hepburn Heights, C3 Hepburn Heights, north of the river. And Nigel and Andrea and a few other couples made that journey south into this foreign country called Fremantle and established a church here, originally called Port Community Church, and also established Port Care. Charlie heads that up, and he was talking, that was the facility he was talking about in terms of our low-cost supermarket and crisis care facility. So over that period of time, we've been able to establish a foothold in Fremantle. We're the first church in well over 100 years to own land in Fremantle. And so I think in very many ways, we've been on the cutting edge of what's been happening in this community, and it's great to see now other churches coming and being able to put foundations down into Fremantle and see that sort of, in the sense, it broke Fremantle open, what we've done here. And that was from a very small group of people that were committed to that. And so we now own this facility and the childcare next door, the facility there, that's now leased out. And we've managed to reduce our mortgage down, over $1 million down to just over $2 million and an asset worth $5 million. So there's still a fair way to go, but we're just really grateful and just very pumped, I suppose, that we've been able to do what we've been able to do over the past 10 or 15 years, since the mid-90s through to now. And so it's a great heritage, and that's kind of our story. But the other part of it is our future, and that's the bit we want to spend most of the time on today, that we've got a vision for the future. Things don't stay the same, do they? We don't want to get to this point and just kind of stay. We want to move on. And I'm just really excited to announce today that we're pregnant. You tap the person next door and say, that's got to be a miracle. Well, it is. And yes, folks, we're pregnant. We're pregnant with a baby church. And we're going to give birth next year to something that's the kind of worst kept secret in the church, deliberately so. Going to give birth to a new baby church next year. And it'll start life as a Sunday service. But it'll look like a church, it'll feel like a church, it'll sound like a church, it'll have music like a church, the word of God will be preached like a church, people will come to salvation, they'll worship God There'll be a presence of God there. There'll be faith taught. The people will be able to connect together with the others in the Christian community, but also reach out into the community to be able to love God, love each other, and love the community. And that's what it's all about. That's what building a church is about. And in fact, one of the analogies in the Bible, and there's sort of lots of them, is that the idea of the church is like an ark, as in sort of Noah's ark, that the church is a vehicle that God uses to rescue mankind. Just as God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark, and people will come into there and be rescued from the flood. So the church is the rescue vehicle that God uses to get people out of, from drowning in the world, to be able to come and find salvation and peace and love in Jesus Christ. So the ark is still God's first plan. It's been his only plan. The church has been God's only plan for salvation right through the ages. And so first of all, we come to faith in Christ individually, but then we join with others and form this crazy thing called the church, which is what we appreciate about meeting here today. And for those right around Australia, I was sort of noticing that there are, researching it, there are 13,000 churches in Australia. There's about 9,500 schools. So it gives you an idea. There's way more churches than there are schools. And there's about 8% of the Australian population attend church regularly. That's on more than once a month. And there's about another 10% that attend church irregularly, less than once a month. So there's about 4 million Australians that on most Sundays or some Sundays stand in a church, lift their hands and worship Jesus. So it's a significant, the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well and flourishing in Australia. And in fact, it's interesting worldwide, just Presence Conference last week, and anybody that got to that or has heard anything about that gives you something of an inspiration of a world view of what's going on. And there's some amazing things happening out there. And I just read in Christianity Today the other day that there's 160 sovereign nations on the face of the earth, and every nation has a Christian church in it. I was wondering about North Korea. I thought, well, does that really? But apparently it does. It's got actually a Catholic-based church there. But every nation, there's a presence, there's a church in those places. And those churches didn't get there by accident. They were put there deliberately. And so what is a church? Glad you asked. The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means an assembly or the called out ones. So basically, it's effectively a group of believers that meet together. And so a lot of scriptures in the New Testament, over 100 times that word's used, which talks about, it's translated various things, including temple and the body of Christ or a house, to describe what we would today call a church. And I love it in the book of Acts, talks about, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And if we jump down to verse 46, I'm not to bring this up on the screen. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who should be saved. The church is God's idea. God's established it. And just, we read in the book of Acts how that they continue in the apostles' doctrine, bearing in mind that the Bible was being written around these guys in terms of the New Testament. So they included, that they sort of followed the word of God. They included fellowship in it. Breaking of bread, which sort of combines that idea of sharing a meal, but also communion in prayer. Fear came upon them. Wonders were done in their name. And they continued daily in the temple. We meet once a week as the sort of Christian tradition now, but they met daily in the temple, breaking bread house to house. They ate their food with gladness, praising God, and the last bit of that, and the Lord added to the church daily those who should be saved. So it's amazing. This idea of church isn't new. Jesus kind of invented this one. Let me just read very quickly a couple of other amazing scriptures about the church in both the New and the Old Testament, bearing in mind that the church is both a temple and a house and various things. But let me just whiz through these. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock of God in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to care for the church of God. In Ephesians, you've been joined together, grow into a holy temple in the Lord. Corinthians, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. This is Jesus talking. Paul talking, sorry. And down here, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. in Hebrews. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are that house. In Corinthians, we are fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. In Psalms, they are planted by the house of the Lord. They flourish in the house of our God. In Corinthians, again, for God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, gifts of healing, helping, administration, various kinds of tongues. Isaiah, and it shall come to pass in the latter days, love this scripture, in the mountain, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the heights of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And I could go on and on, just dozens of scriptures that talk about God's house, God's church, being a vehicle for salvation, being a way that God connects with his people. And in Matthew, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking. So this is always take special interest when it's Jesus that's talking. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Really interesting. I will tell you, this is Jesus speaking, you are Peter. And that word means Petros, which means rock. You are Peter, you are rock. But that word Petros is like small rock. It could be like a stone or a pebble or something small. And then Jesus said, but on this rock, and the word rock there is Petra, which is like an enormous rock, like a mountain of rock, like a huge block of granite. So what Jesus is saying here, your name's Peter and you're a little rock, but upon this rock, and I can imagine Jesus maybe even pointing to himself, saying, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's Jesus saying there? Jesus is saying that upon the foundation, upon my foundation, I will build my church. And Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected in the Old Testament. He was the foundation of creation. He was the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation that we put our life on. The person of Jesus Christ is our foundation. So both the church is built upon Jesus, and Jesus said, I will build my church. But our lives are founded on him as well. He's the rock. He's the Petra that we build our lives upon. And if you build upon another foundation, it's not going to be as good as Jesus. That's your best life, is building on a foundation of Jesus Christ. And he says, I will build my church. And so that's a pretty exciting prospect, that this isn't just a good idea, this is a God idea. That building the church, being part of a church, is a life-changing experience. It's God's vehicle, it's God's ark, it's God's way for the salvation of mankind. And so coming to church isn't just something we sort of casually do on a Sunday. It's part of God's plan for the salvation of mankind. And so, we want to establish, in establishing a new church, we're doing that, in a sense, under the mandate of Jesus. And in the Bible, it talks about a church being an army, a family, a flock, a building, a body, a vine, a bride, as in a bride and groom, an ark, I've mentioned, and a city. But in all those cases, it's effectively God's vehicle for changing the world. And the other bit of that is that, you might have read in the scripture where it says in Matthew, I think it is, where two or three are gathered in the midst, there he puts his presence. He comes and visits. So isn't it amazing? We can spend time with God personally, and I hope we all do, but there's something about two or three gathering together that changes the dynamic. And God says, I come and visit a group of people in a different way to what I do individually. That's why when we come together on a Sunday and we start worshipping God and fellowshipping together, that there's a different dynamic to what it would be if you were in your own lounge room or in your own bedroom worshipping God. Because God says, where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. He visits in a special way. And it's interesting, you go back to the Old Testament, it says that God puts the solitary in families. We were never meant to dwell alone. We're not meant to be individuals just doing our own thing. We're supposed to be part of a family. And it says that in Deuteronomy, one can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. Well, that doesn't really make sense, does it? You think one puts 1,000 to flight, two would put 2,000 to flight. But somehow, you get one and add another one to it, you get a multiplication effect. And so part of God's plan for building the church is that there's more strength and more power in numbers than there is in the individual. All of us as individuals is less than the total of us as a church. And that's the case whichever church it is. And so there's something about not doing life solo, but being part of the body of Christ, being part of building a church. And so that's part of what we're about in our story, our future. It's about establishing a new church as well as flourishing here in the one we have in Fremantle. Bill Hybels says, I love this guy and some of his quotes, "There is nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable, its power breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving, heals the broken, builds bridges to seekers, opens arms to forgotten, the downtrodden, the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addiction. It frees the oppressed. It offers belonging to the marginalized of the world. The potential of the local church is limitless, and it is still God's plan for salvation of the world." And so building the church is the second best thing we can do. The best thing is that we can come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's number one. But after that, God says, build my church. And he says, the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against this. The church is victorious. If you read the end of the book, the church is victorious. So, where are we up to? So what about this baby? Well, in terms of giving birth to a baby, some would know, probably most in this room would know, that that requires a bit of preparation. You don't just sort of give birth just instantaneously. There's a period of pregnancy and there's a period of preparation for it. And I just happened to find, if you're having, you know, a normal baby, and most mums and dads, I found a list of some of the things that you'd need if you're going to give birth to a baby. And this is the sort of shortened list. I didn't want to get the list for everything. But you do need, just let me give you an idea of the sorts of things that you'd probably need. 8 undershirts and onesies, 5 nightgowns, 8 stretchy sleepers, 5 pairs of pants, 2 newborn hats, 8 pairs of socks, 2 pairs of snatch mittens, 2 cardigans, a bunting bag, 4 outfits for dressing up, 8 cotton blankets, 8 receiving blankets, 8 burp cloths, 8 4-ounce bottles, baby formula, a thermal bottle carrier, 8 waterproof covers, a nappy pail, a change pail, baby ointment, snaps, velcros and safety pins, disposable wipes, a plastic infant tub, 12 washcloths, 3 hooded towels, 3 waterproof mattresses. Are you taking notes here, guys, for anybody that's not? Look, the list is quite long. Sufficient to say that when you're planning to have a baby, you need a whole lot of gear, a whole shed load of stuff that comes with that. I don't know, I think when we had kids, they had like one nappy, a T-shirt, a stick and an old saucepan or something. That was about enough. But anyway, potentially, when you're going to give birth to a baby, it's kind of a big deal. You've got this shed load of gear that you need to put into place. Well, it's not quite the same with the church, but sufficient to say we do need some gear to set up a new church. And so we've been looking at what we're able to do for that. And one of the things that has been on our mind to do is that the sound system we have in this church, which is quite an expensive system, that we'd like to give that to this new church. And that's a great setup for them, a great hurdle to overcome, if you like, in terms of being able to do their own facilities. And then, of course, we would need to replace that system here. And that's partly because the sound system we've got here will be great for a smaller church, but we're kind of at the top end of its usage, if you like. And so we were able to get a new system that's able to give us some new capacity here. So when we talk about our story, our future, we're talking about resourcing some of the facility here, but also being able to buy the stuff that a baby church is going to need to be able to set up that church and to see it prosper. We don't want it just to be just a struggle, but we want it to be sort of blessed and to come, to sort of hit the ground running, if you like, to make a difference. And so we'd be looking to resource that through Our Story, Our Future, which is the giving program, as I've mentioned, to underpin what we do here and in WA. So, where is this new church going to be? Well, Nigel and Andrew have mentioned a few times that we've had on our heart as a church and as a board to plant a service down in the Southern Corridor. And as it turns out, that part of the world has been going gangbusters from a growth point of view. Both the fastest growing areas in Australia are in WA. One of them's in the Southern Corridor, the other's out south of Canning Valley, Harrisdale, Forestdale sort of area, Southern River. And so this is an area that's really burgeoned in terms of people. And so we've wanted to plant a church there. So if the video clip's ready, let's just spin the clip, put your eyes to the screen, and we'll give you an intro to the new baby.
From C3 Fremantle, a spark ignites. Thank you. Bertram Baldivis has been the second fastest growth area in Australia over the last 10 years. The population has grown from nearly 7,000 in 2004 to over 38,000 in 2014. That's a 570% increase. Wellard has a new modern town centre and shopping area adjacent to the train station, a great vibe with great facilities. The average age of the Wellard population is 31 years, 6 years below the Australian average. There's lots of younger families. 62% of people living in Wellard were born in Australia. The other countries of birth are England, 13%, New Zealand, 4%, South Africa, 2%, and the Philippines, 2%. There are a couple of churches in the area, but there is plenty of opportunity for a vibrant new C3 church. Coming to the suburb soon, C3 Church Wellard.
Ooh, here we go. So we're really excited about the prospect of partnering with Jesus in building his church. And that wherever a church plants, there's opportunity for people to reach out in their community. Obviously, there's people that from this church that currently live down that way, and that's going to be a blessing for them. There's people currently in that community that have never heard the name of Jesus, and that's going to be a blessing for them. And there's going to be people there that perhaps are interested in finding a home church that can't currently find one. So we're really excited about that fact. We're still around a year away from doing this, but as you would realize from the baby analogy, it takes time. You want to prepare ahead for these things. So we're in the phase of preparing ahead for this. And so this year's our story, our future, is about investing into not only this house, but in the one that's going to come through. And so we're very excited about that. And so this year, your funds will go directly into some of that work. So that's great. That's what we're about here in C3 Fremantle. It's about building the kingdom of God. It's about extending it. It's about part of the C3 vision that Phil Pringles put out there to build new churches as a vehicle to reach our nation. We want to see people touched and blessed and come into their best life. It's about them being able to reach their potential, and they can do that through finding Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour, to come into relationship with him, and then tying in and becoming part of the body of Christ, both here in Fremantle and then coming soon to Wellard. So that's great. Thanks, Nigel. I might get you to come up and just talk about the giving card and give people a bit of an idea of connecting in with that.
Thanks, Greg.